Daddy, tell me the story again. Little boy looked up at his father and wanted to hear that same old story he'd heard for much of his life. I want you to picture with me a little boy going into National Park there in Gilgal, just across the River of Jordan. It's not where he lives, but it's where they travel year by year to remember what God did as he brought them into the promised land. And here this little boy looks up at his father and he says, Daddy, tell me the story again. Father looks down at the boy and says, Son, I've told you this story. You really want to hear that story again? Yes, Daddy, I want to hear that story again. Will you tell me? Please tell me the story, Daddy. He says, Son, I'll tell you the story. It's one of my favorite stories as well. Well, son, you know, our family, we're from the tribe of Gad. And, you know, we live on the east side of Jordan. But many of the tribes live over here on the west. And you see, son, what God did was he called us along with the rest of these tribes to enter into the promised land. And what he did was he raised up this man named Moses many years ago, and then he raised up another man named Joshua, and he used these men to lead us to this place. You know, son, we live on the east side of Jordan, and it's a little different. We came into this land, and we enjoyed a time of rest initially, but the Lord gave us a specific word. He told us, that is the tribe of Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh and Reuben. And he told us that we could not be content in the rest that we had on the east side, that we were to go with the rest of the tribes and we were to take the rest of the land. And so we joined them. In fact, we led them. We went out with them and we entered into the land that God wanted for us and for our families and for the many tribes that we enjoy today. Son, it was unbelievable. Daddy, tell me what happened. What was it really that stood out in your mind? He said, well, son, this is what took place. God gave Joshua, our leader, he gave him a word. And we just told him that as long as the hand of the Lord was upon him, we would follow him. And in fact, the Lord told Joshua, be strong and of great courage. I just imagine that Joshua, when he heard God's voice, that he was fearful and he was struggling with this. And now the new anointed leader of Israel and having followed Moses, that he needed a word of encouragement. And the Lord said, be strong and of good courage, Joshua. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I remember telling Joshua along with others that so long as the hand of the Lord was upon him, we would follow him. That's all sounds good and everything, but son, we didn't always follow people just because the hand of the Lord was on them. In fact, sometimes when the hand of the Lord was on them, we didn't follow them. That's the case with Moses, you understand. You know, Moses had, years ago, even before we crossed into this land, you understand, son, we followed Moses and our forefathers did, but the hand of God was on Moses, but there were times when we just didn't care. In fact, an entire generation would have to pass away before we would enter into this land. The hand of God was upon Moses. I remember the story because my father told me that Moses sent out 12 spies and he sent them into the promised land. And there in the land, they were supposed to scout it out. And they found this land flowing with milk and honey. It was everything and more than what they could imagine. But something happened. 12 of them came back. But only two of them agreed that they should go into the land. Most of the spies that had gone into the land, they knew this is what God wanted, but son, they just didn't listen to God's voice. The hand of God was upon Moses, and it was clear that this is what we were supposed to do. But as my father told me, he said, son, the hand of God was on Moses, and we certainly should have entered into the land, but that's not what happened. We disobeyed him. As a result of that, son, my father never entered into this land like we did. There are serious consequences to disobeying God and certainly to rejecting His leadership when you know that God's hand is upon a man as he's speaking and as he's leading the people of God. God raised up another. Raised up Joshua. The hand of the Lord was upon him. We followed him. We knew that Joshua, he didn't send in 12 spies. I don't really know the significance of all of that, but he only sent in 2 spies into the land again. And he sent them into Jericho. And there they went into Jericho, and they began to scout out the land. And the king of Jericho realized that there were 2 spies in his city, and he did everything that he could to find them. Now, there's a lot more to that story. And, son, I can't tell you all the details of that right now, but know this, that when they entered into the city, word got out on the street that God had shown up in their midst, and they were fearful. In fact, I want you to know something very important, because the king of Jericho knew that the Lord God of Israel had shown up. This was the God who had set his people free and had brought them through the Red Sea. They knew all those stories, and it was Rahab who gave a place to these 2 spies. The word on the streets is that the God of Israel had shown up, and they were fearful, you understand. And son, don't ever forget. Don't forget that God's reputation precedes his arrival. God's reputation precedes his arrival, son. And they were fearful. In fact, they were frightened because they knew what might could happen to their city and said, you know what happened. We know what happened there. But let me say this, son. That when God brought us into the land, it required obedience on our part. When God imparts a vision, He expects us to be obedient. He expects it. He requires it. He doesn't reveal himself so that he might be heard or that he might see himself. He reveals himself that he might be heard, that he might be seen, that he might be glorified. Son, don't forget it. When God reveals a vision, he expects obedience. Don't forget it. So Joshua got the word from the Lord. And Joshua told the people, based on the instructions of the Lord, that they were to break camp and they were to make their way to the Jordan. You know, there were thousands of us. Thousands of us. I mean, family members all around us, friends, people we had known for a long time. And we had pitched tents all across that area. And there we saw the River Jordan in front of us. God told us to wait on him. And then specifically, he told us that we were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. You know some what the Ark of the Covenant means, don't you? Oh, yes, Daddy. You've told me about it before. What does it mean, son? Well, it represented the presence of God. That's right, son. It represented the presence of God. But there's a lot more to it because it contained the very tablets of God, the very 10 commandments. It spoke to us. It's what made a way for us when we had no way, son. The Ark of the Covenant was important to us. God appointed these holy men, these priests, to carry it and to lead us out. In fact, we were to follow behind it, about 3,000 feet behind it, because God had given us these very specific, instructions. And we were to follow him. And he told us to follow at this distance because God wanted us to be obedient to that. He wanted us to make sure that we were attentive to every detail that he had given. But son, know this. Faith requires that you believe God and you obey God when you don't have all the rest of the details. The details that we were given were to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant at about 3,000 feet, and it would lead us to the River of Jordan, and somehow this was all going to work out. Now, I got to tell you, son, at the moment, at the time, my heart was beating, and the emotions were running high, and this was something bigger than my life. We had never been this way before. And you know, the Lord reminded us, you've never passed this way before. And so it was essential that we do exactly as he said. Every detail that he had given us, that we would listen to it and that we would obey it and that we would do exactly as he said. Because God reveals himself in the specifics, you know. He makes himself known that way. And he wants us to be attentive to the details. Everything that we know, be obedient to it. Son, I want you to remember that. Because there are going to be times in your life when you walk through life that there are going to be some things you really know. And then there are going to be some things you just don't know. But stay obedient to the things that you know. Don't be consumed by the things that you do not know, but be obedient to the things that you know. And so when you begin to question and you begin to wonder and you begin to speculate as to what you should be doing, know this, when there's a haze and there's a cloud maybe of darkness in your life, do this. Go back to the things that you know that God has already said to you and walk in those things until he tells you something different. It's pretty simple. Don't speculate on what you ought to be doing. Just stay faithful to the things that you know you should be doing at this moment. And son, if you'll do that and you'll be attentive to the details that God last gave you, you'll be all right. Faith will take care of the rest, and the journey that you're on will take you to places that you can, well, you may not even be able to imagine today. I couldn't that day. I couldn't imagine that we would end up in this place. But what was God doing, son? It was bigger. It was bigger than me. It was bigger than our family. It was bigger than our tribe. It was bigger than Israel. It was big. And it was for the nations of the earth to be able to come and to see and to glorify our God. Listen, why did God do this, son? He did it because he wanted to show himself strong and mighty. In fact, you know what Joshua told us to do? He said this. He said, you need to make sure that before you ever see this wondrous display that God wants to do, that you prepare yourself. Now, those are sort of my terms, but really he said, sanctify yourself. That's what he said. God wants to display his wonder and his glory, but you don't get to see it, and you won't see it if you don't prepare yourself. Son, don't forget that. You want to see the display of God's glory? You want to see the wonderful display of who God is and the way that he shows up in significant circumstances like this? You want to see that? You got to prepare yourself. Sanctify yourself. Get ready. Get ready. And that little boy looks up into his daddy's eyes, Daddy, this is one of my favorite stories. Will you tell me more about it? I said, son, there is so much more to this story. But I got to tell you what happened is that God did exactly what he said he would do. Because when we prepared our hearts and did exactly as God had instructed us, we stepped up to the river and there before us, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they stepped into the river, and as soon as they did, you know what happened? The waters rolled back all the way to Adam. You know, in the northwest part of our territory, you know where that's at? Oh, yeah, Dad, I know where that's at. You know, we've been there many times. That's right, son. The waters rolled that far north, and then to the south, they rolled down into the Dead Sea. It's a long ways. Wow. You saw it? I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. God, Dad. Wow. But son, you know, God's willing to show himself in great and mighty ways to you. This isn't just something for the past. It's good to recall God's past actions and what he's done. That's wonderful to remember. But the reason we remember is so that we will generate hope for the present. So that we'll have hope in the moment. The sustaining power of God in the midst of what we're walking through, son. When you feel like the weight of the world is upon you and the decisions of life are great and you feel like the weight of it all is upon you, you can have hope because God will sustain you in the present. Because you know how faithful he's been in the past. I'm telling you, son, he he showed up in a big way. The waters rolled back. That was amazing in and of itself. But I got to tell you, for all those skeptics who wondered about it later, because, you know, I know you believe me, but the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people who don't believe. They just think the water was shallow and it wasn't that big a deal. And in fact, you know, it was just some, you know, natural cataclysmic event that took place upstream, and it wasn't all that. Listen, son, let me tell you. I was there. I saw it when those priests stuck their foot in the water, their feet in the water. It just rolled back, and the land was dry. It was dry. That it sounds like that story that your grandfather used to tell you about how Moses led the people through the Red Sea and how the river, the water rolled back and the land was dry and they passed through it, and it's just like that. Yeah, it's just like that. Just like the story I heard. I heard my daddy tell that, but I'm telling you, son, I saw this one. I saw this one happen. God wants to display his glory. He wants to show himself strong and mighty. What he's done in the past is so indicative of what he would like to do in the present, in your life. God displays his glory. Oh, that's what those people in Jericho had heard. Word on the street was is that this God is alive. And in fact, that's what Joshua told us. Joshua told us that if we obeyed the Lord and we did exactly as he said, and we did, and the priest picked up the Ark of the Covenant, and they moved out in front of us. And as they did that, God, Joshua said that as we were obedient to the Lord, that we would see the living God on display. That's what he said. And so we saw the living God at work. Now, this is different, son, from those Girgashites and Amorites and Jebusites and, you know, all those ites. You know all those people? They worship all kinds of gods. But, son, I'm telling you, our God is alive. God is alive. We don't worship a dead God. Joshua said that if we did this, that we would see a display of a living God. And I've often thought about that, a living God. I mean, if he's God, he's got to be alive, right? He's real, if he's the one true and living God, yeah. And there's so many gods that our forefathers ran after. And son, you need to write it down and mark it down in your heart. You chase these gods. You're led away by these gods, and they would destroy you, and they would crush you, and you will be led to a place of captivity and enslavement. But our God sets us free. Our God sets us free. We serve the living God who sets us free indeed, who calls us to trust him when we're not really sure of all the circumstances. Our God is alive. He's alive, son. And you know that stone? You know that one right there? That's ours. That stone. Right there. That's ours. It represents our tribe, our family. The Lord told Joshua to take a man from each of the tribes, and as we crossed through the River of Jordan, there was a lot on my mind, and getting through it as quickly as I could was one of the first things, you know. It's, you know, because I remember the story, see, and the story was that as the Egyptians followed our people into the Red Sea, that as we came across into the other side, that the waters began to swallow them up, and I thought, I don't want to be the last one through here. You know, it's amazing what you think about at a time like that. I can imagine even what those priests were thinking about. They were really the first ones. Their knees were knocking, I'm sure. You know, they've never done this before, and that's how life is. Sometimes you're faced with something that you're really not certain about. You're about to walk into something and go through something, and the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you trust the Lord, because your human intellect is not going to take you through it, and your fear is going to choke you. And there was a lot that went through. I'm telling you, at that moment, faith was the only thing that saw us through, because our intellect, our cognitive ability was not going to get us through that. It wasn't going to happen. And so I remember what happened to those Egyptians. And so we got through as quick as we could. I mean, it was incredible. And son, let me tell you that that when you looked at the river at that time of year, this was a river that was overflowing at its banks. And God, there were hundreds of thousands of us, and God took us through. Now, I've thought about that since then. And every time I seem to tell you this story, I got to tell you that I've thought, well, why did God choose this time of the year? Why? And I have some reasons. I've thought about it, reflected on it. You know, the water's overflowing at its banks. There are other times of the year when the water's not like this. That's how we passed over here. That's why we came to this park, to see these stones and remember our family and others to gather together with the other tribes and look at these stones and say, well, what do these stones mean? Well, these stones mean a lot. And some, there are other times of the year, as we know, where we could have come across that river and it wouldn't have been as threatening. So why? Why would God wait until this time of the year? Why would he do it? Because, you know, ultimately, son, God places us in difficult situations. God places us in difficult situations so that we might see him and we might trust him and we might believe in him. He puts us in circumstances sometimes. You got to say, that's the only thing I can say is God put us there. God brought us to this place and he put us in a difficult place so that the only person we could trust was him. We couldn't trust in our own intellect. We couldn't trust in our own resources. We had to say either yes or no to God. There is no in between. We said yes. Even though we struggled with it. Fear is not without doubt, you understand. Sometimes there is doubt accompanying that fear. But you believe and you trust and you walk in obedience to what you know God has told you to do. Sometimes God brings you to difficult places. Why? Because he's awful, he's terrible, because he's trying to hurt you or injure you? No, no, no. That's not why. Because he's testing you. Because he's growing you. Because he's bringing you up so that on the stage of your life and on the platform of your life will be displayed the glory of God. Son, you want to know what these stones are about? These stones are about the glory of God. These stones are about us coming to this place time after time after time and realizing that God's glory is to be seen throughout all the earth. And that we are to fear the Lord forever. And you remember that. Because so oftentimes our fears are of so many things and they're not of God. They are fears of things that we grasp in this life, struggles that we have, encounters that we've experienced, and we are fearful of so many things, but God wants us to fear him. He is a holy and righteous God, and he will not share his glory. Yes, that's what it's about. This is all about him, Lord. This is all about him, son. It's all about what he did. That's really what it's about. I want you to think about it. Most of the time when we want it to be all about us, it's because we have some selfish motive. We have some impure thought. There's something going wrong in our system. But with God, when he wants it to be all about him, it's perfect. It's complete. It's all about him. He deserves the glory and the honor. Son, God wanted it to be all about him. 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 In this journey of faith, it must be about him. Is that the story you wanted me to tell you about, son? And that little boy looks up into his father's eyes. Daddy, that's the story. No distractions. No extra entertainment. No fireworks. Just some stones. And a story of a great God that we serve. It's worth retelling over and over and over. It's a story that we're familiar with. It's like the story of Jesus, isn't it? We tell that story over and over and over again. We should never grow tired of it, never grow weary. Why? Because Jesus, like the ark, makes a way for us where there is no way. Jesus, like the Ark of the Covenant, not only represents the presence of God, he is the very presence of God. And on that cross, fully God, fully man, He died for our sins. It's the story of the Christian faith. It's our story. If you've been born again, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that Jesus died, the Son of the living God, died on the cross. And He was glorified. He was glorified. That's our story. We choose to believe it. We hear it over and over again. We've heard it even here most recently. But don't become so familiar with it that it loses its impact. If you find the dryness and the indifference to what is being said, it's probably because you've lost your love for Jesus. You've lost touch with Him. He's holding on to you, and He's trying to remind you of what He does, what He's accomplished for you. Maybe today you've come to this place and you wonder what was going to happen, and you're still wondering. God has met with you today. He set this time for you. You might hear a story, but not just a story. You might be touched by the words of heaven, that you might sense His presence, and that you might yield your heart to Him and say, Lord, God, You've displayed Your glory, and I've missed it at times. I didn't prepare my heart. I wasn't right with You. I didn't sanctify my mind and my spirit. I wasn't ready. I didn't really get anything from it because I really didn't care. And you'd be willing to acknowledge that just before the Lord, you, right there where you're seated. You're just saying, Lord, really? I didn't expect anything. But God's gotten a hold of your heart this morning. And He's speaking to you. And He's reminding you of what His Son accomplished. That old, old story of Jesus and the cross. I want you to pray with me this morning as the Lord speaks to your heart about where you need to be with Him and what decision you need to make. To follow Jesus, to give your life to Him, to yield to Him, to say to Him, you know, Lord, I've walked away from You. I've been out of touch with You. Lord, I want to turn my heart, my eyes, and back to You again. Would you be willing to acknowledge that this morning? Pray that you would, and just be sensitive to the Spirit as we sing and hymn of invitation in just a moment. It'll be a chance for you just to be responsive to what God's doing in your life. If you'd like for us to pray with you, if you'd like to come forward and say, you know, today I sense that I need Jesus. And you know something? He knows that. And so He has spoken to your heart. Yield your heart to Him tonight, today. Be obedient to Him. Some of you who know Him, you know you've just been away from Him. And you just need to say to the Lord, Lord, I repent of this. I acknowledge that I have really had no regard for You. You got to be honest with them now. That's not a bad thing. The worst thing you could do would be to harden your heart and be full of pride and be persuaded by something or someone else and to believe me, oh, no, I'm okay. Listen, you're not okay. Don't let anybody sell that to you, okay? We all need Jesus, and I'm the first in line. We all need Him not only for our salvation, but for our restoration and completely for what God has intended for us. And so you just acknowledge that with the Lord. As we sing this hymn of invitation, let's stand together.